Hey, it's time for Grease the Wheels, goddammit. It's your Uncle Jimmy. Listen up, all you motherfuckers out there. It's Grease the Wheels time here at the Rock and Roll Garage. This is your Uncle Jimmy barking out the podcast this week. Hey, here comes the customary thank you very much for what you do. But hey, you know what? Thank you very much for what you do. Can't say it any more sincerely than that. I really appreciate it. A lot of people who should appreciate it don't. I do. I know it doesn't make up for all of that, but I do what I can. All I can do is do what I can, you know. Trying over here. I'm not trying very hard this week. It is a Wednesday night podcast. I'll be surprised if it makes it on the air by Friday. And I apologize, but folks, I've been having kind of the week from hell. And I'm stringing a whole bunch of them together, calling it 2024. Got better yesterday and then got a little bit better today. And, you know, that's how it goes for me sometimes. Mondays, I don't know why. I wish somebody would calculate why the fuck Monday's got to blow so bad. I can't fucking understand it. I mean, literally Monday was cruising along just fine. And all of a sudden, I think what happened is I fucking jinxed myself and said something like, well, geez, this Monday hasn't been bad. And then all of a sudden, the shit hit the fan. I had some fucking, an advisor who decided that he was going to see if I could do 4 hours worth of work in an hour and a half. And I tried. I did. And I would have made it if we'd had the fucking parts.
Well, we didn't have all the parts.
Yeah, we didn't have all the fucking parts. Anyway, hey, this week, in sticking with our theme, we're going to be calling this particular podcast, Why Don't We Do It in the Road? I want to kind of talk to you and fill you in on some stuff I found about mobile mechanics and also scumbag mechanics. And then I want to lighten the whole mood up because I don't really want to talk about that for an hour. I want to kind of go through and do a little reporting on some goofy stuff. I'll let you know what that is when the time comes. But for right now, I kind of want to go off on these other subjects here. Now, you and I, and I got to be honest with you, I have no idea who's listening to this. None. Okay, so if I run into somebody who says, oh, I listen to your podcast, I look at him like a dog would look at you when he hears something he's not sure what it is. He tilts his head and shit. I'm like, why the fuck would you listen to that? And that's really the question. Why would anybody listen to this podcast? I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know why. I know why I listen to it, because I'm kind of a narcissist and I want to hear the sound of my own voice. I want to hear how terrible it sounds. And sometimes it sounds really good. And most of the time, I got to say, it's because Eric, the producer, goes through and cuts out all the horse shit, all the crap, all the snorting and the farting and the scratching of my back and whatever else I do over here. I'm not masturbating anymore. So I think he's happy about that. There's none of that going on. I only have one of my two sex organs left. So it's not the one you think. Why don't we do it in the road? I wanted to kind of give you a rundown on what's going on with mobile mechanics. I spent some time on the internet. Oh, I know you find that hard to believe, right? I spent some time on the internet looking around I wanted to find some information on either how to become a mobile mechanic or reviews on mobile mechanics or anything like that. And all I really found was that there is just a fucking shitload of mobile mechanics out there. There's an absolute fucking crap load of them out there. I ran through probably two or three pages of people who were be willing to come to your house and gouge you out in your driveway for whatever repairs you need. And, you know, I think that one of the reasons, and then this is just me kind of offering up my opinion again. Well, it never happens. In my opinion, the reason that a mobile mechanic might enjoy some serious success, I guess that's the best way to put it. If they enjoy the fact that people are calling them and getting them to come over and do things for them, it's because there's sort of an expectation with the mobile mechanic. Let's put it that way. There's sort of an expectation that they're going to be cheaper than a shop. Okay. Now, I know that every single one of you out there is familiar with the term, you get what you pay for. And that's always been a really big problem with our industry altogether, from the top right down to the goddamn bottom of it, is you get what you pay for. And when you go to, let's say, a dealership that has, you know, highly trained and skilled technicians in the brand of car that you're driving, and you roll it in there and, you know, you get a fucking 20-year guy like me, and I've seen thousands of those cars and I pretty much know exactly what it's doing. And even if I don't, I can figure it out pretty fucking quick. And then we get you on the road again, you know? And I would think that through somebody else's eyes that are untrained to the unwashed masses of people out there, if they saw how much my shop charged for some of the things that I do to the cars, and oh, by the way, sometimes rather quickly, they'd probably throw up blood and you know, scream and holler and go, how can you charge me, you know, XXX, you know, whatever it is, to have this guy do this thing, and he did it in 20 minutes. You know, he had the old one out, the new one in, and he fixed the problem, and he cleared the faults, and he test drove it, and holy shit, they even washed it. What the fuck? Really? Are you kidding me? I hadn't washed it in 2 years, and now it looks clean and new, and oh, what? What? The bill? Holy cow, look at that. Yeah, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. Because, hey, man, when you're working in a dealership or an independent shop that has a building and lifts and power and heat and maybe even air conditioning sometimes, it should all cost money, baby. They got to get it from somebody, and that somebody is fucking you. So as a customer, you kind of have to understand that. And the other thing that you need to understand, and I think that a lot of people, this, you know, I've talked about this a few times, and this is one of the things that really, I got to say, it irks the fucking shit out of me, is when people say, oh, mechanics are just here to rip you off. And the other thing I've always said is, wow, you know, in 21 years of being a professional automotive mechanic, the customer has ventured into the repair shop to physically pay me personally exactly never. It has never fucking happened, okay? I'm not the one who hired a cashier to handle all the money and the checks and the credit cards and whatever the fuck else you're paying with. I'm not the one who had to hire somebody to do that. My boss did. My shop owner, my dealership did that. I'm getting a very, very tiny slice of whatever it is you fucking paid. Okay, get a tiny slice of that. So I would really love it if you would just knock that whole technicians are out to rip you off bullshit. Fucking cut it out. We're not out there to do that. Now, honestly, I don't have any sympathy for anybody who thinks that a mechanic ripped them off. Because if you seek out value in the repairs that you want to get done, if you're seeking out a good value, if you go to a dealership or a well-respected shop and you want to get something fixed and it costs you what you think is a lot of money, what you have to understand is that there's value there. Can't even begin to, if you hear a thumping noise, that's your Uncle Jimmy beating his head against the wall, because I have gone on and on and on about the value of what we do. Okay, and this is why I've always asked you guys to, you know, get your ASC testing done, even though I'm not a real big believer in it. Also to get any other training you possibly can. There is serious value in that. And I got to tell you, just a little aside here, we're going to have a brand new method of propulsion pretty soon here with the help of the first element of the periodic tables, hydrogen. And you guys can, a lot of people are going to get fucking left fucking behind by it. They're not going to make any attempt to understand it. They're not going to make any attempt to work on it. They're not going to want to work on it. They're not going to want to look at it. They may even be afraid of it. Who even knows? It's coming. It's coming, and it's going to be here before you know it. I've been talking about it for a couple, 2-3 weeks now, because the thing is with hydrogen, it really is an answer. Okay, so for you as a mechanic, you should become knowledge hungry. You should get yourself trained. You should start looking up information on hydrogen propulsion. Everybody's working on it, man. Everybody's working on it. BMW, Honda, GM, probably Ford somewhere in the skunk works. They're working on it. You know, they're probably trying to, you know, get the Ouija board out and conjure up good old Carroll Shelby to figure out how to make a hydrogen Le Mans car or something like that. They're all working on it. That's the point. Don't get left behind, all right? Because this is really, I'm telling you folks, there is a line in the sand, and the technicians on one line of the sand are going to be doing brakes and tires and ripping people off in the parking lot of the AutoZone or the Advanced Auto Parts, or maybe they have a van and they fucking stop. Maybe they live in that van down by the river. Who fucking knows? But they're going to bring that van over to your house and they're going to fix something on your car. Allegedly, you're going to pay them. They're going to drive off and you're going to find out that they did shit work. And then on the other side of the line is going to be people who took the time and the energy to figure out how to work on electric cars and then also hydrogen cars. And the two will not resemble each other even a little bit, because you'll have the mobile guys who will do the easy stuff. You'll have the mobile guys who can do the mobile stuff in your driveway or in a parking lot, in a bank, or in the middle of the road. Why don't we do it in the road? We could do it in the road. If I'm on a fucking road where nobody's driving down it, I'll fucking pull the motherfucking engine out. I don't give a shit. I've done it, you know, not in the middle of the road, but you know, fuck. I mean, I could. I know you could too. You don't have to have a garage. If the weather's nice enough and you got some light and it's not too cold, and you got the tools, and maybe you got some other fucking guy with a 12-pack of beer, and he's helping you out, and hopefully not handing you too many of them. You could change an engine in the middle of the fucking road. God, the roadkill guys do that shit all the time. They pull up to a fucking summit and order up a new engine, and suddenly it just shows up, and it's kind of a mystery as to who pays for all that stuff. But they'll bang an engine in a car in a parking lot at a summit or even a Jegs or something like that, and then fucking drive it somewhere, do a bunch of burnouts in front of a national monument or something like that. You guys can do, you really literally can do it in the road. You can do it in the road. I can do it in the road. I just choose not to. It's not that safe, especially where I'm at. The roads are clogged with fucking retards and assholes. Oh, my God. I had one this morning. She's driving like fucking 10 miles an hour on a 55 mile an hour road, and I'm trying to get around her and I can't. And then I tell you folks, the horn is never loud enough for me. I could have a train horn. It's still not going to be loud enough. But when I stick my head out the window and I yell, "Get the fuck out of my way," as loud as I can, people can fucking hear that. Let me tell you what. And they look around, I don't understand. What's the problem? The problem is you're in my fucking way, bitch. I got places to go. Time is money, you fucking. So anyway, sorry. It still gets me angry. It happened this morning. It's like, what the fuck's wrong with you, Uncle Jimmy? Sorry about that. Because we can do it anywhere. We can do it in the road. We can do it anywhere we have to. But listen, I'm serious when I talk to you guys, and I'm hoping that maybe it gets through. I don't know if it will or not, but there's a lot of crazy shit coming down the pike here. We have some incredible systems in the cars now. We have electric cars. They're kind of kooky and crazy, and they don't really work very well in some places, but the hydrogen cars, yeah, I think that's going to be a real honest-to-God answer, and for people who really honestly want to try to save the planet from the god-awful, terrible internal combustion engine, it's going to be a really good alternative. I think that there's really good things that are going to happen with that. And really what else is going to happen is that if the infrastructure for hydrogen can, you know, be put into place so that it's not so arduous to try to get some for a hydrogen powered vehicle, that electric cars are just going to kind of fade away. There'll be places where they're going to be really, really good. And maybe even places where they're great. And honestly, they're the best choice. But I just don't see a lot of places fitting that bill, you know. There's just not a lot of places where an electric car is going to trump an internal. Sorry, maybe it's a poor choice of words, but there's not a lot of places where the electric car is going to be better than an ICE car or even a hydrogen powered car. But so you'll have more choices, and that'll be good. And as mechanics, well, that's where you're not going to have very many choices. I think that really a lot of mechanics out there, good ones, bad ones, scumbags, ripoff artists, and people who have integrity and honesty out there, they're really going to always be able to deal with and work on internal combustion engine cars. I don't think they're going to have any problem with them. The electric cars are pretty much sorted out. All of the the AutoZone parking lot technicians and a lot of mobile technicians, I would imagine. And I was really kind of stunned at just how many there were for the city that I'm in. There was literally three pages of different mobile mechanics. There's also some companies out there that are, and this kind of blows me away, there's some companies out there that want to hire you as technicians to be mobile mechanics for them. And what that means is that they get the money and then they pay you a little bit of it. And oh, by the way, now what you've done is instead you've traded a bay in a garage where you work your ass off for somebody who keeps all the money. Now you've traded that for a van and you're still working for somebody who keeps all the money. And now you get to work on the ground in a driveway, in a parking lot. Hey, I said we can do it. I didn't say that we would enjoy it, for fuck's sake. I don't know. Maybe you would enjoy working on a car outside if it's a nice day. But you know what? From where I come from, nice days are kind of few and far between, especially this time of year. Where I'm at now, it's nice 300 days out of the year with good sunshine, and sometimes a little hot, sometimes a little too fucking hot, but it doesn't rain that much. But when it does, holy shit, does it rain. Fuck. It rains a fuckload. Remember the first time I saw it rain down here hard in Texas? I was looking for some guy who was just trying to find animals to pair up and get on his fucking boat. It was stunning how much it rained in just a short period of time. And so now I completely understand the term flash flood. Holy fuck. And then after that, you get to lick your chops because you get cars towed in that have bent connecting rods and shit. And it's funny, the stories that they'll tell you. Oh, I was just sitting at a light and I was in about 3 inches of water, and all of a sudden a tsunami came up and washed over my car, and now I have a bent connecting rod. I'm sorry. The whole physics of that scenario just don't work for me. Okay. At idle, your car's not going to suck up enough water to hydrolock it. You know, I mean, even if you had a fucking funnel on your goddamn air intake, no, you were driving through it and you were trying to go as fast as you could to get through it. And that's what happened. I bought one of those cars one time and it was a joy to work on because it got water into everything, every fucking thing. I had to replace the engine because it fucking decided to spit out almost 3/4 of its fucking connecting rods and pistons. And then later on, I found out when the temperature dropped below 32 degrees Fahrenheit, 0 degrees Celsius, that I needed to replace the brake booster because somehow or another, we had no brakes. None. I mean, literally nothing. It didn't. In fact, I think it sped up when you press the brake pedal, which is not good, especially if you're in a situation where you kind of got to stop. Anyway, get back on track here. I wanted to kind of find some information on mobile mechanics. And what I found is that there's a lot of people who don't think very much of them. This is one. And where I went to the place where you're going to find the worst shit possible. I went to Reddit, and you know, I really should just like not ever go here ever again. But here's one of the entries here. It says, my ex was a mobile mechanic and he had a heroin and a meth addiction. So this guy was an overachiever. He was a fantastic mechanic, she says, as long as he wasn't fucking high, as long as he wasn't on drugs, as long as he wasn't fucked up. And he made great money. And that's why he was able to enjoy heroin and a meth addiction. Yeah, she says her ex did great work. He must have. Okay, it's because how many of you talk about your ex in a positive manner? Yeah, probably not too fucking many of you. Oh yeah, she did heroin and meth, but she was an excellent detective. She was an excellent nurse. She was pick really any occupation. You're not going to say, oh, you know, she's fucking got heroin tracks all up and down her arms, but she's excellent at what she does. You know, it's like it doesn't usually happen. So this is a very generous woman here, I got to say. Hey, if I got a guy with a heroin problem and a meth problem and he wants to work on my car, I'm going to beg off on that. I'm sorry. He might be the best fucking mechanic in the fucking world. I don't need that. I don't need that. I'll fix my own shit. Thank you. Moving on here. I saw, what else do we have here? Here's another woman doesn't really seem to get it either. Why would people give mobile mechanics work when they can have someone with a garage with proper equipment and other do the work for them? Well, it's strictly the money. And you know, that's the thing, folks, that when we talk about where we do what we do and why we do what we do and who we do it for, it really, the end answer in all of those situations is the money. Why would you be a mobile mechanic? Because you believe that by throwing all your tools into a van and driving to a customer's house and working on a car, that you're going to make more money than you would if you were in a garage. You would make more money if you worked for a dealership. And the answer is, yeah, probably. But there's some pitfalls to it. There's actually several pitfalls to it. Number one, if you have a problem, who doesn't have problems when they work on cars? Are you kidding me? I've been a fucking problem child for a long time. And somebody else fills the bill, and man, I owe them. It's ridiculous. But if you're out there as a mobile mechanic, you should definitely have some garage keeper's insurance, some kind of insurance, something that's going to cover you in case something goes wrong. Because I'll tell you what, I've seen it. I am the purveyor of it. I've had some serious mishaps in the last few months, and I don't even understand why somebody hasn't come along and said, you're fucking fired, asshole. But honestly, you need to protect yourself against that stuff and have some sort of, so if you're a mobile guy, or you're thinking about being a mobile guy, or maybe you just want to, you know, pull up with a pickup truck in the AutoZone parking lot and start fixing shit there. Have some sort of insurance or something. Have something to cover your ass, really, because I'm telling you, take it from a master, things can go fucking tits up in a hurry. Now, one of the problems that we have as technicians is our image. Everyone fucking thinks we're going to rip them off. As I said earlier, it pisses me off. It's just not happening. It's just really not happening. I mean, if you are a mobile mechanic and you quote somebody an outrageous amount of money to do something to their car, like triple, you know, quadruple what they would normally pay at like a garage, and they agree to it, and then you do it, you're not really ripping them off. You are still providing a service. And if you can present it in such a manner that the customer feels like it's a good value for you to do it, the cost is inconsequential. I mean, they can go to somebody later and say, hey, how much should it have cost to have a water pump done in my, you know, whatever the fuck you got? And they go, well, you know, check with a friend of mine. It's just like $300. He goes, well, I paid $1,200. Well, was the job done right? Yeah. Was it, you know, were you happy? Well, I was happy till I found out that I got ripped off. It's like, if you don't find out you got ripped off, and here's another thing too. If somebody says they're going to do your water pump for $300 and another guy charged you $1,200, you got to think to yourself, you know, how much should I have paid? Well, there's really no fucking answer to that question, is there now? No, not at all. Because maybe if you went, you checked, and you saw that you had to remove like 8 things, which take fucking all goddamn day, and so it's like 6 hours to change your water pump, and they charge you $1,200 plus the water pump, and the guy did a good job, and he didn't leave greasy fingerprints all over your fucking car, and he didn't leave a puddle in your driveway or wherever you are. He didn't make a mess, and it looks good, and it works, and you could feel that the car runs better, drives better, and it is better. The temperature gauge doesn't go into the red anymore, and everything seems really good with it. You know, you and I know that sometimes you fix something, it just sits there and it runs so fucking well. You're like, damn, it really fucking needed what I did to it. Good thing I did. Good thing I did that, you know? So who's to say, who's the end person who gets to say that something is a value or not a value? Well, it's the customer. And if they feel like you ripped them off when you charge them $1,200 to do a water pump that would have cost them probably $3,000 at a dealership, maybe, what can you do? What can you do? There's not much you can really do. I mean, we're trying to repair repair our image with all of our customers and trying to get some good PR, but it's not working. Everyone thinks we're ripping them off. And even the people we work for believe that we're trying to rip them off, because when we tell them, hey, we need more money to do what we do, and they're like, yeah, fuck you. No. Because there's a shortage? Fuck you, pal. I'm fucking out of here. And that's why there's a shortage, because they're ripping us off. And lots of people, lots of mechanics, they're not down with that shit anymore. I'll go mobile. I'll go into some other fucking business. Either way, I'm not working for you, you cheap cocksucker. Not going to do it anymore. Let me get off of Reddit, because that was kind of bullshit here. Yeah, like I said, when I was looking for stuff on this mobile mechanics, there were just so fucking many of them here. And then there's some companies out there, and I'm not going to name any names, but there's some companies out there who would love to hire you as a mobile mechanic to go around and fix cars, where they get the money and then they just give you some of it. You don't need that. You don't need that. If you were going to be a mobile mechanic, or even if you're going to start your own garage, you know, you could do have a 1 or 2 bay garage where you work on stuff that's scheduled. And when it's not, you go out and you do mobile work. It's like, you know, seriously, if a customer calls you up and says, hey, you know, I'd like to have a water pump put in my car. Anyway, like, well, you got a garage if you want to bring it down here. And they're like, I can't drive it, it's that bad. Well, okay, I'll come to your house and fix it. I think that's really probably one of the better situations going, is if you had a business where you could just kind of either close up or leave it in the hands of somebody else for a couple, 2-3 hours and go out and fix stuff on the road. Why wouldn't you do that? You know, if you're out there trying to make it as a shop owner and you're the guy who's fixing the cars on top of all the other shit that goes along with having a garage, and somebody says, hey, I need something fixed, but I can't get it there and I don't really want to pay a tow truck to come and get it, and say, well, you know, let me drop out and take a look at it at the very least. I mean, if I can fix it on the spot, or, you know, reasonably fix it on the spot, sure, give it a fucking shot, you know? I mean, if the guy's not busy. Now, here's the thing. And you got to take this into account. And if you own a shop, you really need to kind of look at this, okay? You need to, if you own a shop or if you're a mobile guy, you need to kind of pay attention to what the hell's going on in your neighborhood. What the hell's going on in your city, in your town? You need to pay attention, okay? Because if there's a lot of shops and they're not that busy, then you're probably not going to be that busy, okay? So if you're thinking about becoming a mobile mechanic, you might want to find out if there's any kind of demand for it before you go and you waste all this money buying a Sprinter van and a mobile tool set, maybe even who knows what else. I mean, you might get one of those mobile tire changers that lives inside of a van, or a balancer, a cheap little balancer that can balance tires, you know, so you can do them on the road or in people's driveways. You might want to check around and see if there's they call it market research. You know, like when somebody wants to open a business somewhere, they do a little research to find out who the fuck is actually going to want to shop there, who's going to want to eat there if it's a restaurant, who's going to want to get their car fixed if it's a repair shop, you know. And you're going to need to do the same thing. You're going to want to do the same thing if you're going to go mobile. And maybe you're going to have a shop and go mobile, which, you know, I think really could be a pretty good idea for you. I mean, if you're flexible, Why wouldn't you do that, you know? I mean, and if you don't have work, and early on you're not going to have work, right? I mean, you open the door first day, who's going to come in? You know, maybe your mom, maybe your best friend, maybe your wife's friend, you know, they come in for an oil change because they know you're just getting started and shit, you know? It's like, who gives me the first dollar, you know? Who is that, you know? Whose name goes on that when you put it on the wall? Because everybody does that, right? You take the first dollar you make and you pin it up on the wall and you put in there, hey, this guy showed up on, you know, August 1st, Monday morning, August 1st. He was my first customer and I changed his oil, and then he came back like a week later and said I fucked it all up. He says, oh, you ripped me off. You charged me $10 for an oil change. This shit happens, man. That shit happens. You got to be ready for that shit, okay? But seriously, you need to check it out. Now, if you're in a city or in a location, or if you're in a neighborhood and there's only one repair shop there, and you call them up and you say, I want to bring my car in, and they go, yeah, it's going to be like 4 weeks before you can get your car in here. You know you're on the right track. You can hang up and say, okay, thanks a lot, you know, and then go, all right, well, we're about to lighten your load here. And then you start your mobile auto repair and you put yourself on the map and you start giving people business cards. Maybe you're at the auto parts store going, hey, I can take care of that for you. And then, you know, and one of the things that goes on with that, and there was some talk about this, and I looked it up. I just typed in how to find out if a mechanic's a scumbag, and what they said basically was that if you work in the parking lot of an auto parts store, you might be a scumbag. Here's your sign, you know, kind of thing. I don't know, and that's the thing, is other than ASC testing, we don't have any way to really rate each other. I mean, I can't meet somebody and talk to them about cars and think they're intelligent if they're not. Because quite frankly, boys and girls, if you and I are working as a mechanic, there's a lot of shit that we know that other people just don't know. And you can tell within a couple of sentences, and maybe after talking to somebody for 5 minutes, you realize in the back of your mind, this guy's a fucking moron. He doesn't know shit. And I hear it all the fucking time. I hear it all the time. People find out I'm a mechanic and they start telling me about the shit they did to their car. And I'm just thinking, man, that poor car, what the fuck? It's like, so you do a lot of walking, huh? Because I don't let up on them. I don't fucking let up. If they're not mechanics and they work on their car, I just say, well, good luck. Because it's not something that a lot of people do anymore. I've documented that a bunch of times. All right. So being a mobile guy, doing it in the road, is that a good thing or is it not? I'd like to hear from some of the mobile guys. And I'll be honest with you, the place where I'm working is trying to get mobile repairs and mobile assist up and running. And they're having a little trouble with it, but they'll figure it out. The thing is, and I'm going to help them out with it. I'm going to go on the road and do some of these repairs and change tires, whatever they got to have done, and so that we can get it started and get it rolling and get it moving. And maybe if it's not that lucrative for me, or if it, or if somebody else wants to do it, or if somebody else needs to do it, we can have them just kind of step right in and it'll be all set up and ready to go. Because honestly, myself personally, and I think a lot of you are like this, at least I would hope so, no matter what the situation, if it involves an automobile and it's in not working order in some manner, some way, shape, or form, that you can arrive on the scene with a few basic tools, maybe some fluids, maybe an auto part or two, and boom, they're on their way again. So really, literally, you can do it in the road. Wasn't what the Beatles meant when they said that, but still, you know, with anything really, you can do it in the road. I mean, we used to play soccer and tennis and all kinds of shit in the road I lived on because there weren't a lot of traffic on there, you know? Anyway, So I want to say, and this is strictly my opinion, that being a mobile mechanic probably sucks. It probably sucks because of the investment. I mean, if you're going to be a mobile mechanic all on your own, there's a hell of a lot of expenses there. There's tools that you're going to need that you're not going to have available. There's things that you have to beg off on because you don't have certain tools or certain things you can use to make that repair or provide that maintenance. I mean, you're going to change oil on the side of the road? Are you going to change oil in a parking lot? I mean, yeah, some guys do it. And I know some cars that still have dipsticks, you can just shove a fucking tube in there and suck it out. Yeah, that's definitely doable. So, I mean, there's always ways around it. And that's the one thing about, it's one thing I love about you guys is that really no matter what the situation, you'll fucking figure it out. And that's how I feel. I mean, if I go mobile with the company that I'm working for right now, if we go mobile, there's nothing they can throw at me that I can't deal with. I've done everything there is to do to a car many times. And even in my life as a parts guy, I've sold everything for a car. You name it, I've sold it. You name it, I put it on. It's like, what else do you want me to do? I can't make it. And actually, I probably can. I'm just not going to. That's all. So yeah, you mobile mechanic guys out there, any of you who are listening, and kudos to you guys for giving it a shot. Kudos to you guys for doing it. Try to do it the best you can. I think that you should always do the best you can, no matter really what you do. But if you're a mobile mechanic, you're doing something that's pretty important. You know, I mean, you're keeping people moving, and hopefully you're keeping them safe while they do that. And I would expect you to perform the repairs that you're going to be doing the maximum amount of efficiency, the maximum amount of intelligence, and get that job done right, okay? A lot of mechanics out there, and I hate to say this out loud, but it's the truth. There's a lot of mechanics out there who are scumbags, who will rip people off, who will do shoddy repairs, who will take money for things that they didn't even do. For Christ's sakes, that's terrible. That's just straight up stealing. So we have a lot of work to do. And you guys as mobile mechanics are on the actual goddamn front lines of this. You're the ones out there that people are seeing in their driveway, or in their parking lot at work. You're the ones they see out there. So you are the first line of defense against this whole technicians and mobile mechanics are scumbags. You're the first line of defense. Say, hey, guess what? I'm not a scumbag. I'm going to come in, I'm going to do a repair, I'm going to charge you a very reasonable price, you're going to have value in the repair that you get done, you're going to have value in the auto parts we install in your car, and when your car runs right, everything's going to be right, and you're going to think of me as a knight in shining armor instead of a scumbag or a mechanic who's trying to rip you off. And that's what we need. We need more of that. So if you're out there doing mobile service and you're listening to me right now, hey man, chin up, do the best you can, and try to help us all with our image. It'll help you too, trust me, okay? I can't stand reading about mechanics who rip people off and they're scumbags and they can't do the job right. And these people need to get the fuck out of the business. They probably ought to be taken out back and just shot right between the fucking eyes, really, because the planet's got enough people on it already. We don't need any more people like that. And if we were to dispose of a few people like that, the world would probably be a better place, okay? Now, I said, and I didn't want to go on about that bullshit all night long because there's just not much to it, really. As far as mobile mechanics go, it's always an alternative for you guys. There's companies, if you don't have the capital to buy yourself a van or even a truck and throw your tools in it and go around and start fixing everything on the fucking planet, there are companies that will hire you and give you a van and maybe even some tools and some direction. And maybe they'll just call you up every day and go, hey, we got 6 jobs for you. Here's the first one. Go to this address. We sent it to your phone. And so you'll know where the address, we sent the address to your phone, so you'll know where it is. They're looking forward to seeing you between 8:30 and 9 o'clock this morning, and you're probably going to need some parts. We've got that shit all lined up for you. It's very doable. It's very doable. And unfortunately, they are going to get the lion's share of the money, but it's certainly a good way to get started. And you know what? Seriously, probably a lot of these companies that have mobile mechanics where you work for them and they get the money and then they pay you. What that does is if you're one of those guys, you after a while, you're like, okay, why do I need them? And you figure it out. You don't need them. You don't. You'll have people calling you up. If you're good at what you do, you'll get referrals from friends. You'll get referrals from former customers. You'll get referrals from everybody you've done work for. If you do great work, you don't need anybody with their hand in your pocket. You kick them loose. You get your own van. You get your own tools. You go out and do your own work and you keep all of the fucking money. How great would that be? Me and you, what the fuck, right? Keep all the money. Maybe you don't ever need a garage. Maybe you don't ever need a shop. Maybe you just need a place where you can roll in and they'll do a tire for you without giving you a bunch of shit and charging you $80 a tire. That way you could actually jack up a car in somebody's driveway, put it on a jack stands, take the wheels and tires to some shop, get some tires from somewhere, charge them a little bit more for tires, charge them for putting them on, come out to the house, bang them on, drive the car around the road, decide it's good, give them a bill, have them pay it. Life is good, right? Right. It could be good. Being a mobile mechanic, you literally, and I mean, I want to just state this again, you're the front line, man. A lot of these people who want to save money are going to give you a call, and if they're satisfied with your work, it's going to increase the reputation of all of us. So for Christ's sakes, for the good of mankind, do your job right. Do it well. Behave with integrity. Now, I wanted to, I don't want to come down on you with all this doom and gloom all the time, all right? Because that kind of irritates me too. And I have to listen to this. Because I do. I will. After Eric edits this, I will listen to it. And I will make comments to myself about myself, which is kind of the most crazy, bizarre, backwards-ass, fucked-up thing you can do. But I do it. And a lot of times I'm just like, man, that was some serious shit. Or maybe other times I'm like, wow, that was stupid as shit. I think I probably get that one more often than any. But I wanted to kind of lighten up the mood here. And what I did was I found an entire page of dumb auto mechanic memes. And some of them are really great. I just want to kind of bring you some of these to kind of, I don't know, maybe make your day a little better. Here's one. There's one here where they show a monkey with a monkey wrench in his hand, and he looks like he's working on a Porsche engine. And it says, "Yes, of course, all our techs are fully trained," you know. And then you've all seen these. Then there's the guy who's severely cross-eyed, and he says, "No worries, sir, I did your alignment myself." And then there's some here, and this, some of these are ridiculous, and I want to just share them with you here. There's one here that shows a picture of a battery being jump-started with another battery, and the connection between the two batteries is a pair of wrenches. And it just says, it's not stupid if it works. And it would work. It would work. And then there's one where the guy was putting a drive shaft in a car, and I think maybe the drive shaft was just a little too short, maybe about 2 inches too short. Hey, guess what? A 2x4 is 2 inches. So there's a picture of a 2x4 between the differential and the flange for the drive shaft. This is just terrible, but I got to give it to you. This is a picture of a girl, and she's really kind of cute, and she's working on a car, and she's like tightening the alternator belt or something, and it just says, man, that's a funny looking kitchen. What are some of these other ones here? Shows a car with amazingly egg-holed wheel stud holes. I mean, they're literally like 2 inches round, and the studs are almost worn completely off. And it says at the bottom, yeah, it just started shaking today. We've all got that where we're like, oh, I just heard a noise today. And you look and the wheel falls off. Some of those are on... It just rolled in, and that's, they're hilarious in some cases. And in some cases, they're sad. And we have had a few of those. I mean, I don't care how long you do this, whether you do it for a month or a few weeks or a year, you're going to see some stupid shit. There's no question about it. And you're going to see some stuff that's funny and maybe even some stuff that's, I don't know, a little sad. Maybe not sad, but just different. Last week, one of the mechanics had to do some wire repair in a car. He had some circuits that were not complete when he checked them from one end to the other. When he found that they were routed behind the wheel well, he pulled the wheel well off and he found a three or four baby squirrels living in there. And they were alive. And they were actually kind of cute. But they had decided to feast on some of the wiring in that car. So that part wasn't good. But they got those squirrels taken care of. They sent them to a animal shelter of some sort. That's what they tell me anyway. Who knows? They might have taken them home and cooked them for all I know. There's a picture of a guy on a phone. He's got a really bad look on his face. And it just says, me diagnosing a customer's car over the phone. I'm sure that you guys love that when somebody goes, oh, you know, I got this and I got that and I got this and I got that. And they go, what do you think it could be? And I said, I don't know. The mute button on my phone is broken. All right. So I found a site here that says how to avoid auto repair scams. Now, if any of you are out there doing this stuff, I would like to just ask you very nicely to stop. Here's some of the things that people out there should watch for. And if you're doing this stuff, be forewarned that people are going to be looking for this. Airbag fraud. Some dishonest repair shops are using stolen and even previously deployed and salvaged airbags to replace a customer's deployed airbags. That's no good. Because if they hit something and they need it, they need the airbag to save their lives. They may end up dying. If you've worked on the car and they have any kind of, their family anyway, if has any kind, or the estate, let's put it that way, has any kind of a connection to a lawyer who's even half worth his salt, they'll find you and they will fuck you right in the ass, okay? So you might want to stop doing that. Bandit tow trucks, be cautious if a tow truck driver you did not call arrives at the scene of an accident. Yeah, that's always a bad thing. Let me just tell you something about tow truck drivers, and I know that they're probably not listening to this. And if they are, I will apologize to those that don't fit this. But a lot of the tow truck drivers that I have seen, especially recently, and really over the course of my entire career, these are people, usually gentlemen, that don't bring much to the table. They're tow truck drivers for a reason, because it's not that taxing mentally. I'm sure there's a few Menzians somewhere out there in the world who have really super high IQs who are tow truck drivers for some reason or another, and possibly it just appeals to their sense of control or whatever. But for the most part, your tow truck drivers, they're not going to be the brightest, the sharpest tool in the shed. They're not going to be the brightest bulb in your Christmas tree lights. So when you have to deal with them, you need to be forewarned, because sometimes when they're not too smart, they may do things that aren't smart, and it may be unscrupulous, is what it says here. Okay, just keep an eye out for that stuff. Okay, now I'm sure that there's a lot of, and I don't need the feedback. I'm sure there's a lot of great, honest, hardworking tow truck drivers out there. But I would imagine that the ratio of good ones to bad ones is probably close to 50-50, and might be skewed even towards the bad side a little bit more. Burying the deductible. Some collision shops may do this. They try to hide the cost within the estimate for the repairs so that the insurance company ends up paying the deductible. This is not something it says here it's not a good idea, but it sounds to me like an excellent idea. If I don't have to pay the deductible, I think I'd be very fucking happy. But sometimes the things that a shop will do to attempt to bury the deductible may be shady and underhanded and even dangerous. Okay, so be careful of that. Chop shops, well, we know what a chop shop is. It's where a car gets stolen and they take it somewhere where they're open at night and the lights are blacked out and they rip it to shreds and sell the parts off. And I suspect it's a very big thing down here, because every time I look at a car, people are like, oh yeah, we're not selling the car, we're selling the parts. And I've never seen it's so prevalent down here that I've never seen it like that before. I mean, I go through and I look at cars all the time down here, and they look like they're a good solid car that maybe needs, you know, maybe needs a hood or maybe a window's broken or something. Nah, we're selling it for parts. We're just selling parts. Like, okay, whatever, you know. And then they're going to end up with something. They're not going to make as much money. The potential is there to make money, yes, obviously. But if you're a wrecking yard, that's really the only way, because you have the cars, they can sit there for a long, long time, and you can get them, you know, you can get 10, 15, 20, maybe even up to 30 and 40 people taking parts off of one particular car, then yeah, you can make money that way. But at your house, before the homeowners association calls you up and gives you shit for having a car in your driveway that's all fucked up, you're probably not going to be able to sell even a quarter of the same parts that a junkyard would sell, and you're going to end up scrapping it with good parts on it, which you couldn't get paid for. So I don't know why private individuals do that. Oh, just selling parts instead of the whole car. It's like, well, okay, whatever you want to do, you fucking moron. Glass fraud, it says here to be cautious if someone solicits you offering to repair your windshield. Lots of times, repairs for your windshield are just, they're bogus as shit. I mean, you can't make it completely disappear. If it's in your line of sight as the driver, I would definitely not recommend doing that. I have not really ever seen a glass repair that could not be still seen after it was repaired. So for someone to say, well, we can repair your glass, I go, well, I'll take a fucking pass. The next thing here to look for is inflated damage estimates. Well, I got to be honest with you. We do this where I work because we have to err on the side of caution with a lot of systems. Now, one of the things that goes on, and I think it drives insurance companies crazy, and I can't even tell you how much I enjoy that. Can't express it in real, honest to God words. The insurance companies are given a copy of one of our service bulletins, which says if the vehicle is hitting the front, the tires, the tie rod ends, the control arms, or if it's even just towed that way, then we're going to need to replace the rack and pinion unit because more than likely it was damaged. And they always go, oh, we don't need to do that. I go, ah, here it is right in writing, so suck my dick. And so so fortunately for us as technicians and as people who can do alignments, we get to change a lot of racks because people are constantly hitting shit with our cars, whether they own them or whether they're driving our loaner cars. They seem to be wadding those up at a pretty good clip. But that's one of those things that, you know, quite honestly, I would say if we took 10 cars, they got hit in the front somehow or another, maybe they needed a wheel or a tie rod end, or maybe they needed a control arm or something, the rack's probably okay in about 80% of them. You know, 8 out of 10 are probably okay, and you could get away with driving them. But they can get damaged. They can get damaged, and that could be a serious thing. So for liability purposes, we recommend as a brand to change the rack in a situation where you had some kind of accident with the front. And is that inflated? Well, yeah, it definitely inflates the cost of the repair. But is it nefarious? Is it illegal? Is it shoddy work? Are we trying to rip somebody off? No, absolutely not. We are dedicated, and I will say this with the utmost urgency, we are dedicated 100% to the safety of our customers. There's no question about it. The shop I work in, our main goal is to make sure that our customers' cars are safe, can be driven in a safe manner, and will work reliably and dependably for them forever, really. I mean, if we can, we'll take care of some stuff forever. I've seen a few cars recently that were in unbelievably good condition, unbelievably taken care of. They were clean. They were well-maintained. They got lots of miles on them. They got lots of miles left. You know, and then maybe a couple of days later, I'll see the same car where the people who owned it didn't give a fuck about it. It was full of shit and everything's broken and smeared and there's stickers everywhere and there's boogers on the window and there's just all kinds of shit wrong with it. And it really needs to get dropped off at a pick and pull like right away. You know, same car, probably built maybe a couple, 2-3 days, maybe a week apart on the assembly line back when it was new, just got treated differently, you know. Last thing here is kickbacks. Sometimes, I'm sorry, we live in this world where money talks and bullshit walks. And so if somebody gives you money to report something that isn't wrong or to not report something that is wrong or maybe to let somebody take care of it who shouldn't, there's all kinds of different scenarios for kickbacks. I've seen it in the professional world. I've seen it in the parts business. I've also seen it in the repair end of the industry. And it's really seriously nefarious. And there's nothing you can really do about it. A good example of what I'm talking about is when you want to get concrete in the city of New York, you have to pay somebody who has nothing to do with concrete, if you know what I'm talking about, all right? These kind of things happen in some places. They don't happen anywhere that I've actually worked, but I've heard of places where things like this get done. You want to try to avoid places like that if you can. If you become involved with something like that, you may be subject to you may be subject to arrest. You may be committing a crime. Who knows? All right, those are some ways to kind of keep yourself away from repair scams. I'm sure there's some that I missed. I'm sure that there's some that this article has missed. I don't think like that. Okay, let me just be honest with you. I don't think like that at all. So if there's bad things going on, I would probably be one of the last ones to know. I'm just not out there looking for these things. I'm not out there trying these things. I'm not out there researching them that much, other than just finding a website and relaying to you some of the information you might want to have your customers be aware of. All right. As you can tell, your Uncle Jimmy's voice is going away and it's getting late, so we're going to tie it up for this evening and call it done. Not a very good one, and I apologize. I'll try to break out a quality podcast for you here someday. I don't know. Could be weeks. But we'll see what we can do about getting better at this. I mean, you know, we've been trying for a long time, and we're not getting there. It's not for the lack of trying, though. All right? So listen, if you're out there doing what you do, keep up the good work. Do good work, please, and try to help out our reputation. Don't rip people off. Don't take kickbacks. Fix everything the way you're supposed to. And don't let anybody take advantage of anybody else if you can help it. And when people tell you that technicians rip people off, just remind them. Said, I'm not the one who gets the money when you pay for a repair, am I? No. Figure it out and change your mind and think about what you're saying before you just go and badmouth a whole group of fucking people who are already getting fucked in the ass. And that's us, the automotive technicians. That's your mission for this week, should you choose to accept it. This podcast will self-destruct in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. See ya.